Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How was your weekend?
It was okay. I just played Red Dead Redemption 2 in my pajamas. Nice. Literally, whole day, I did not clean my teeth until 5 p.m.
Nice.
Because I could clean my teeth in the game. But that's not something I want to talk about right now, Luke.
What do you want to talk about right now?
I want to talk about what happened before we came into the studio to record this episode.
Well, you mean the situation that you made weird?
I mean the borderline sexual assault that you conducted.
So before we came
no,
into...
No. Let me tell this story.
You tell the story then.
And the Swath Nation can decide. I'm there in the toilet, the men's toilet of where we work. And the layout is two cubicles and then two urinals. Mm-hmm. The urinals are very close together. And I'm at one urinal. One cubicle is taken, leaving one urinal and one cubicle free. And this man comes up right next to me and starts urinating in the urinal next to me. I'm like, well, that's a bit weird because, and you know, just not arrogant, but, you know, bit, you know, here's my dick. It was just a bit like, here's my dick next to you. When there was a perfectly free cubicle next to me. And I, you know, finish my business, step back to wash my hands. I'm like, that's Luke. That's Luke's back. That's the back of Luke's hat. And I was like, what the hell are you doing, man? That's not the etiquette of the toilet.
And you made it so weird.
You made it weird in the first place.
Because you're having this conversation with me while I'm trying to do my business.
I want to know
now,
what
all of a sudden,
the...
Now all of a sudden, we're chatting while I'm trying to do my business here.
You were the closest you've ever been to my exposed penis. Well, our exposed penises were so close to each other. Why is that not weird? Why is it only weird when I start talking to you?
Because they
from the
weren't...
safety of the back in the room.
Because they weren't that close. Also, like, I always...
I'm talking 2 feet.
It's not...
We're 2 feet between our dicks.
Because I always say, like, Red Dwarf put it best. When you're in the toilets at a urinal, that it's just... It's like playing... It's like putting. Your eyes are down, you're focusing on the ball. Like, you're not looking around, you're not getting distracted by other things. You just go in there, you focus on what you're doing, and then you get out again. No need for conversation, no need for people to make things sound weird. You made it weird.
You made it weird. Why did you not see the cubicle and think, I'll go there?
Because it's a cubicle, I'm not there to do a poo.
Well, you just lift up the seat and you do a standing.
But that's what, like, they're there for poos. And I didn't...
They're not exclusively there for poos. In fact, it is... I prefer to have a sit down. It was for speed's sake that I was at the urinal. But, you know, you've wounded me. Maybe I'll never use the urinal again, living in fear. That I asked Andy Datson, website writer, when you had gone forth afterwards to sort of sort out the Wrestle Ramble... I said, do you think this is weird? And he said, I don't even pee if there's anyone in the toilet.
So I don't think he is the right person to be talking to about this, because he's clearly much weirder about this than anyone else is.
I feel, you know, it's not the fact that you did it. I feel like we're in a relationship now. It's not the fact you did it. It's the fact that you can't see why it's weird.
It's not weird.
We need to settle this. on a...
Well, this is unfair because everyone likes you, so you're just going to win regardless.
No, 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 that's not all. You won the last fantasy book in Warfare.
It's because I'm very good.
I'm very good at Twitter.
I'm very good at Twitter. I'm better than you at Twitter.
Yeah, you're
at the
better at
least.
Twitter than me. That, so, okay, so I feel like this is a new segment where me and you just put ideas... Because we disagree about a lot of stuff that isn't wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe we could put that out to the SWAF nation.
The pod poll.
The pod poll.
There you go, I just came up with that. Speaking of you being very bad at your job sometimes, we got this email in from Paul Robinson, which had the strap line, or the email subject line, angry email for Ollie about Sturgeon photos since he never checks his emails.
Oh, did...
Listen here, Ollie, angry face emoji, brackets, not Luke, because I'm not mad at him. How dare you assume that I would send a credible, reliable, and consistent news program such as WrestleTalk fraudulent or doctored images of sturgeon? Why would I send you a Photoshop picture of an amazing fish such as that? Have I been nothing but truthful in my comments and emails to you? Thoughtful face emoji. I'm sure if, air quotes, El Fakeador were to give you the same photos,
like that,
you would
it?
Believe him and whatever he had to say.
He's super trustworthy.
It's not as if he were more trustworthy than a lowly listener such as me. Come to think of it, he is extremely trustworthy. You know, I think I should put him in my will to take care of my priceless porcelain figures, not dolls, don't call them dolls collection. Ah, Fakeador, so trustworthy. Wait, where was I? Oh yeah, back to you, Oliver. The gall you had to believe I would make up information and send you this informational program to the forefront of the wrestling information market is unfathomable. The next time I see you at a wrestling event, preferably in Essex, I will knock your teeth in. I might even have Will and Scott help me out. I'm not sure who they are. Not that I need their help. Now, if I seem to forget...
Do you not get that? Paul Robinson is his name.
Mm.
That's the very scary wrestler from Essex who used to be in the Swords of Essex with Will Ospreay and, well, Scott something. I can't remember his last name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the joke he was making.
Okay. Not that I need their help. Now I seem to forget what you did to me. Just insult me for something and I'll proceed with the teeth kicking.
Whoa-ho. Well, I think that is sound legal advice for all of us to include Fakeador in our wills in some way,
mm-hmm.
because of that element of trustworthiness. So the sturgeon's the fish thing, right?
Yeah.
That did look awkwardly... Photoshopped. We agreed on that.
Well, no, you said it looked Photoshopped.
I think this is a case of me getting the heat of something we both agreed upon. Hey, SWAF Nation, let's do a pod poll right now. Is Paul Robinson a dirty liar?
Well, let's try and even out some of this heat then, because we've got an email here saying, I like you, Luke, I really do, but sometimes you make it so hard. When you first read my name out, it was absolutely...
I thought you were going to continue. I like you, Luke, I really do. I like you a hell of a lot more than some guys in the back.
When you first read out my name, it was absolutely splendid. You did a great job, but then you messed up, Luke. Obviously, I'm just joking. Many people get my name wrong. I'll definitely be emailing in, so for future reference, my name is read Jem. I keep calling him Sam, because it's spelled C-E-M.
Okay.
We've had this before. I'm pretty sure Jem has emailed in and asked me to say his name correctly, but for reference, I'm very bad at broadcasting, and I often forget things.
That's our charm.
Like, I forget what happened on Raw 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to remember, and that's literally my job. I'm not going to remember the pronunciation of some people's names. It's just that I've got a certain space in my head for things.
Is that a Turkish thing?
Who
pronouncing the C and E as a J?
I don't know.
I know, because J is quite a... It's not really... It's usually kh, isn't it? Mm. J in European languages.
Well, maybe I've done it wrong again.
Chim.
Maybe it's
maybe
like...
Chim.
Yeah, chim.
Chim.
Maybe. Who knows?
Chi over there.
So I need to bring up something.
What about your weekend?
My weekend was lovely, actually. Just did lots of DIY on the Saturday, as per.
Did a lot of Gargano and Ciampa.
Lots of Gargano and Ciampa, yeah. And then on Sunday, hosted Friendsgiving, the second Friendsgiving, with some of my friends coming over for a lovely, lovely meal. I made two mushroom Wellingtons. We did like roast carrots, roast parsnips, roast potatoes, some sweet potato mash, mac and cheese, peas, and... my wife made gravy over 3 days, so it was like super thick and flavorful.
Just whisking
as slowly as possible.
It'd been cold by the time she
served it. So it was very, very nice. It was very lovely.
Do you get presents for Friendsgiving?
No,
you just sit around them. Be lame and friendly.
Yeah, we just enjoy each other's company.
Nice.
But speaking of food, I've got something that I need to bring up with you as a boss. as my employer, as a friend.
But I'm going to start buying your food. That's your expense.
But I think more like I'm going to come to you as a boss here.
Okay.
So we've got the Christmas party in this office area that we've got is it's the 13th of December. So it's the day
That's
before
the plan. Yeah.
It's the day before my birthday. We did look to possibly go because you know the four of us can go. We'll bring our plus ones and everything like that. But I do have to bring up with you the options for food.
So it looks delicious.
So if you option one, so this is definitely for the meat eaters. You've got a pulled pork pancakes with Dijon mustard sauce, roasted beetroot, and parsnips. That's your starter.
Sign me up.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. And then for your main, crikey, oven roasted turkey breast, Brussels sprouts, honey glazed parsnips, baby carrots, pigs in blankets, stuffing, and sage gravy. Oh, sounds absolutely delicious. A meal fitting of a main course, and then Christmas pudding with sauce anglaise with half a bottle of wine, and that's you know that is an excellent option. But what you know, I know what you're thinking, Pod Swafters. I know what you're thinking while listening to this. But what about the vegetarians?
What
are they going to get?
Pod poll. How many of the Pod Swafters really are thinking? What about Luke's vegetarian
option? What about the vegetarians? Considering that we work basically in the East End of London, where you trip over vegetarian restaurants and great vegetarian food, so you'd think, man, there must be. It's a really forward-thinking place. They'll have excellent options for vegetarians. So I mean, well, let's have a look. See what is creamy pumpkin soup as your starter.
Tasty.
Hey, man, I'm no fan of pumpkin, but hey,
it's seasonal.
That is a seasonal thing. If in autumn, I mean, we're in winter now, so it's not really that seasonal anymore. But you know, hey, soup, nothing wrong with soup. But I know what you're thinking. So you go, oh man, that roast turkey, all the trimmings and everything like that. You must get something similar for the vegetarian. No, it's mushroom risotto.
Oh, that sounds good.
It's another starter. Mushroom risotto is not a main course. That is a starter. That is a second starter.
Look, you only have three courses.
That's why I'm getting two starters.
It'll be a big risotto. Risotto isn't a starter.
It is a starter.
That's a rice thing.
That is an entree. That is not a main course.
If you want big portions, you're following the wrong diet, mate.
Compared to what the option one is, a main course, a mushroom risotto does not sound like an equal main course option, does it?
That's not my fault.
I never said it was your fault.
Well,
like Florence and the Machine, I want to raise it up.
I would be curious of the margins on the meat course for £28 per person. It does include a half bottle of wine, which I presume meat costs more generally. And the vegetarians are not only getting cheaper food, they're getting less food.
Yeah, less of it.
Fewer foods.
For the same price.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we've rambled on enough here in this intro. We need to get on with the actual show. But if you are one of our listeners who does not like us being too negative about the show, I would recommend skipping this episode because it is another negative Nelly episode. I'd say that Ollie is more negative than me, but you know, that's
pod
a
poll.
That's pod a pod poll. Pod
that's
poll.
A pod poll, right?
But anyway, here is the show.
Right. So this was a bad episode of Raw. If you are someone who does not like negativity, you know, maybe just skip this episode. Skip the next month, I think, because we're set up for a roundly depressing end to 2018 on Monday nights. And the reaction online, on various reviews, on websites, on Reddit, in the Squared Circle thread, there's a lot of people saying this was the worst episode of Raw this year.
Cage Side Seats said it was the worst Raw they've seen. I've had nothing. The only feedback I've had on Twitter to this show is that was the worst Raw of the year. Our Discord channel is filled with nothing but people saying that was the worst Raw of the year. I thought last week's Raw was much worse.
Yep, I agree. I think last week's Raw was just awful. I guess it had the Ronda Rousey segment, which kind of saved it. And this week didn't have like any new redeeming segments. I guess you could argue the Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler turned into a good match. But I have listened to that song. To too many times. This is the Zephyr song by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. A very good song. But it was played to death in the summer of 2002. And I hate that song now.
Yeah. And it was a bad show. Like, there was nothing really redeemable. There was nothing newsworthy about the show. It wasn't a very good show. But I just feel like I was more upset with Raw last week because it just completely ignored Survivor. Like, it was the first show after Survivor Series, and it essentially just went, ha, you all wasted your time watching that show. You're all idiots for doing that. We're just going to move on with it. And this was just a continuation of that. So now that I'm past that point, I'm just like, well, it's just a bad show, I guess, now.
And you were more irate about that because I had been telling you, Luke, Survivor Series doesn't matter. And then you realised it for yourself.
Well, I know. But and as the person who has been branded the negative one, despite the fact you and I had the exact same opinions, I was the one that was negative about the show. You were just funny.
You've got to smile a bit. Pete, one of the WrestleTyke writers, WrestleTalk writers.
Oh, that's cool. The WrestleTykes.
The WrestleTykes. Their leader's Andy Datson. Pete came to like to pop in to say hello last Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he was like, I remember Pete from the last time we met as being this happy, full of life chap.
That you can't and, wipe a smile off that man's face. He's too happy.
Yeah, and he was talking to us, and I was like, man, you are negative. But you smile all the time and you laugh at stuff. So I walk away thinking, God, Pete's a great positive
guy. Nice guy.
And actually, no, he's full of hate.
He is, though, my favourite writer.
Yeah. Oh, is he really?
Yeah, I'm just going to put that out there. I just think he's my favourite writer on our website.
You just put a cat amongst the wrestle tights. We've got loads of great writers. Anyway, we will get to a litany of stuff that was awful about Raw, but we're going to open the discussion at least with probably the most suffocating element of it, which is this main event authority figure bollocks that was set up at Crown Jewel and is somehow the main storyline in the company, really, because Raw is the flagship program. Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin is the main event storyline that opens Raw, that closes Raw, that's going to do that for the next couple of like weeks at least. It's going to probably have a main event position at TLC.
If Braun is back.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, this is the main event feud. The one guy who is kind of over isn't there for. Braun Strowman was ridden off TV last week with an elbow beatdown because he has to have real-life elbow surgery to fix some bone spurs there. And, yeah, he's going to be off for at least, 3 to 4 weeks, just getting back in time for TLC if he returns at all. So the way WWE are getting around this is Baron Corbin, who had Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley paired with him in the first place because, how else would he take on Braun Strowman? So he's got this random assortment of heels anyway.
The New Dogs of War.
The New Dogs of War. Like, where's Dolph Ziggler?
Oh, yeah, that partnership is just
that has just
done.
Been dropped.
Just dropped.
So, again, why care about anything if it's just going to disappear with no explanation? It's a really damaging thing to condition your viewers to think. And, yeah, see, but Braun's not even there. So who are the proxies for Braun? You've got Finn Balor, who's just going to get beaten up week after week. Fair enough. I've had that. I'm familiar with that. But this opening segment here was against Elias. And Elias, fresh off his face turn, that was random as all hell. But you know what? It's worked. People wanted to cheer him anyway. He's super over. When that guitar string hits, I am excited.
Yes. And it was. Because the three of them are in the ring cutting this like generic We're the Baddies promo. It was all about like, I hope you all enjoyed Thanksgiving, but we don't eat that Thanksgiving food like you idiots because blah blah we're heels and
no carbs.
Yeah, and Lashley, oh man, clearly Vince McMahon discovered the term beta male over Thanksgiving because they used it a lot on this show, but that's now Bobby Lashley's new thing, is saying that he is not a beta male. Because that's what we need in WWE. And then Drew said he's thankful for beating up Braun. And it's just generic heel nonsense. Having said that, no one got an injection in the butt. So probably was a better heel promo than what we got later in the show.
Yeah, and that's when Braun appears on the Titantron taped earlier in the day. He's sitting there. He's got makeup on his elbow, I presume, to make it look all bruised and battered from the previous week. And he says, they're having to figure out how to perform the surgery on me because they've never operated on an arm this big, which I thought that was a good line.
It was great.
I got a kick out of that.
And he went to the Mick Foley school of babyface promos because he literally said, I'd rather be right there in Milwaukee.
Well, what went down in Milwaukee? The Milwaukee crowd was so hot To an extent. They were a great crowd, and WWE gave them this garbage. And, like, they tried, man. They tried. And this is why I will always go to bat for the crowd, mostly.
Yeah.
Unless you just count 10 all the time. Like, that's... they wanted to have a good time, and WWE chipped away with every segment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Heel heat.
And Corbin said that Braun is not going to be cleared by TLC, and that means that he will essentially win by forfeit. The match is still going to go ahead, and Michael Cole said during the match that Strowman isn't cleared and he won't be at TLC. So either they know he will be back by TLC and they're just going to continue on this storyline, or Raja reported today that Bray Wyatt, who was backstage at Raw today, is now being considered to be Braun's replacement in the Baron Corbin feud, should he not be able to get back. So they're still continuing this Baron versus Braun storyline. But according to Raja, there is a potential that it could end up being Bray Wyatt, who originally they had taken off TV to give a, quote, refresh of his character. That may not happen at all now. All those tweets that he was doing throughout October, November may be just dropped and forgotten, or that Dr. Mercy stuff. And he's just going to come back as Bray Wyatt, babyface Bray Wyatt, to be the new face of Raw, because we've lost Roman, we've lost Braun, we've only built those two guys, now what do we do? And this show really did feel like, man, you've lost the only two guys that you've really built, and good Lord, do you feel it.
And Seth Rollins is tied up with the Dean Ambrose feud.
Exactly, he's busy elsewhere.
So they cut this heel promo, and this is where the lights cut out. And yeah. I was confused for a bit. I thought
Sabu was here.
Yeah. and before the guitar string, Renee just goes, yes!
I thought she did it as the lights came, or like as the guitar strings went.
No. She's bad. I was on your team, Renee. I want women to be good. You're bad, though. Like you as an individual.
Again, I don't feel like it's her fault. I just feel like it's this company just saps
away. She wasn't good on NXT back in the day.
No, she wasn't good, but she has...
Great interviewer.
She has good charisma. It's just when people are feeding her lines, I feel like that's when... It's a certain skill to be able to be fed lines and say them legitimately.
Like a robot. So then, like, Milwaukee go crazy for Elias... And he sings a fun song which sort of has Bobby Lashley sucks in it, the crowd chant.
Yeah, they sung along with the songs. That's really good. That's a really good use of Elias, is to kind of like, rather than start chants, you start songs. Songs that people can sing along with. I did like saying that he said that Baron Corbin would be a terrible GM. Leo Rush would do a better job as general manager, but that would violate child labor laws.
Yeah.
Good line.
So Elias, his performance is great. He's so good at deadpan stuff. I think that's the real comedic skill with Elias.
Yes.
And he actually, you know, because it's the bell then rings and he's not as engaging as he is on the mic or guitar.
He's the same, I feel, about Baron Corbin. I think Baron,
I like Corbin matches.
Well, I think Baron Corbin is a very good on-screen personality. I think that I actually quite like him in this sort of interim general manager-elect, I think that's what they're calling him today. That's their new term for it. I quite like him in this role. We were talking in the office. I heard a podcast talking about their fantasy booking for him is that he always remains like the assistant general manager. Like he earns the title assistant. Then he's like, I'm now the permanent assistant general manager. You know, it's sort of like corporate suck-up. I quite like that character. I have zero interest in watching him have a match with Finn Balor, though.
Mm, again.
Again.
Yeah. So Elias comes down, and this is where they have the Elias-Bobby Lashley match. I feel like Elias is trying to be a babyface wrestler.
Yes.
He's trying. It's nowhere near as good as it needs to be yet, but it isn't just his heel tactic. He's like sort of boring heel wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
He's at least trying some fiery stuff. Particularly when he gets a good sequence on Bobby. It looks like he's going to win the match, but Leo Rush pulls out the referee last minute, and the referee's like, well, Elias wins via DQ. Baron's like, no, you don't, because we're heels. They restart the match. And Elias has like a really good running round, like fiery sequence
on
people.
It was really, really cool. Yeah. Like he beat up Drew and he beat up Corbin and Rush on the outside. And then he grabs his guitar and he gets back into the ring. But then Drew attacks him from behind and they all just lay him out. And Bobby stamps on the guitar. And then we get heel heat. and it's like, and actually, you know, the Alabama slam onto the steps looked cool, and like Lashley mocked Braun by running around the ring and giving him a spear, and they pushed him into an end of days and all this sort of stuff. But it is very much heel heat. It's the same heel heat we got last week on Braun as well.
And in the main event of that show.
In the main event, we got the, yeah.
It's just the bookend of every Raw now seems to be Baron and his goons beating people up. We'll talk about the Finn match in a second, which main evented the show, and it ended the exact same way.
Yeah.
All the, excuse me, sorry, I've got a cough. All the heels come down and beat up Balor. So you're going to get the heel heat to close the show. Finn Balor, I think, you know, he's a bit of a write-off for a while because he's just been flattened out. But Elias has this momentum. Why not let Elias get the upper hand on these three guys and get the victory twice, effectively? Because, you know, he wins by a DQ, Baron restarts the match, and he wins again, and he beats up a few people in the process. And you start to build this other guy. And then the heels get their heat back at the end of the show with Finn. It's really grinding away at stuff.
And it's really funny as well because they literally did this at Starrcade. It wasn't shown on the network, so then you showed like an hour's worth of the show itself. But Corbin comes out, issues an open challenge, Bray Wyatt accepts it, Bray Wyatt pins him like with a roll-up, and then Baron rolls out and he's like, no, I didn't mean that. No, it's a no DQ match now. And then Bray wins again by beating Corbin, even though Drew and Lashley are doing their interference stuff. But the crowd are sent home happy because they've seen the goofy GM slip on a banana peel and get pinned twice.
Yeah.
And that's good babyface heat for him. And you're completely right. Like, Elias could have got two wins here, snuck away with a victory. The crowd get, way, we've seen the good guy win. And then the heels get their heat at the end. But this episode was just heat, 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 heat.
And where was Finn Balor?
Yeah, well, exactly, quite. And this happens all the time with Raw. Whenever a babyface is being beaten down 6-on-1 or whatever it is, the other babyface has never come out to help.
Balor gets like a backstage promo on his phone later on, and he just says, well, I'm going to be on the right side of history. I'm going to take on Baron Corbin, which is a weird thing for WWE to say, seeing that their recent business practices. Balor's going to, you know, take on Baron Corbin in the main event. So it's like, so you're here? Yeah. So why didn't you just do that in this segment?
Yeah.
So the main event was Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin, which is just a punishing end to a show anyway.
I couldn't believe this was the main event. Like, I was waiting for something else to main event the show because they kept saying it was coming up, and I was like, okay, yeah, end of hour two. That'll be end of hour two. That can't be the main event of this show. No, it was. And it was, as you'd imagine, Corbin dominates, Balor makes a comeback, Corbin announced it's a 2-on-1 handicap match now. So Drew McIntyre comes out and Claymore, they win. And then they lay out Finn after the match and just
with
do
Lashley.
All their moves.
Lashley comes with down as well.
Yeah, Lashley comes down as well. But like, because the crowd had sort of been worked out, the lack of heat from the crowd by the end of this show was quite spectacular.
It was dull. Deadened.
Yeah.
I just... And of all these three guys, Baron... sorry, excuse me. Baron, Bobby, and... Drew, like, just work out a way to make Drew the leader of this faction.
Oh, tell me about it. Tell me about it. Come on.
Like, why can't Corbin be clamoring to impress Drew and actually Drew's going to go up against... Or Drew's, like, the main player here and Baron's just going to be sacrificed to lose to Braun.
How is Drew in this role? Like, how does his character make sense in this role? This character has been like, everyone backstage is an idiot and I'm better than everyone. How has he become a lackey to the general manager elect?
It's rubbish. The third hour is going to tank. And it's not like, oh, but there was that. Because back last year, WWE would just put on their main event in hour two and then finish with a cruiserweight segment.
An hour-long cruiserweight segment.
There was no main event here. There was nothing in hour two. It was just, it was a bad, bad show. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity dog.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you.
Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
After that opening match with Bobby Lashley and Elias, Baron's backstage and he's screaming at this producer. I don't really know why, because he won.
Well, no, he was screaming at the producer because he let the lights go out and let Elias...
Right.
And that's why he fired him.
But then, yeah, he fires him and the guy disappears. The camera goes up to Corbin and then goes back. And then Alexa Bliss is there. So I'm like, did the producer just turn into Alexa Bliss?
She materialised into position.
Boom. Yeah, it's very hideously staged. You just can't believe in any of this nonsense. And Bliss says, hey... Looks like you've got a lot on your plate. Do you want some help? And Alexa Bliss was so flat in this role. Like, she just seemed...
And it's a shame, because I think she'd be really good in this role.
She's a great promo.
Great promo. And it's a really good use of Alexa while she can't wrestle, because clearly this concussion, or the concussions that she've had, are more serious than WWE are letting on. And as each week passes... I start to get more and more Paige worries about Alexa Bliss's situation. And in the end, Corbin says that, hey, look, I need you to oversee the entire women's division. An announcement that really got Renee and Michael Cole riled up, because as they said, she can't be in charge. She's an active part of the roster. And like, so's Baron. He's in the main event.
Yeah.
Why aren't you upset about that?
And she isn't. She hasn't wrestled for 2 months.
I know.
She's quite clearly injured.
Yeah, she had to step aside at Evolution for Alicia Fox to fill in.
It's just nonsense.
Yeah.
Absolute nonsense. But it does fuel those rumours that Bliss will be becoming the overall general manager when Baron inevitably loses at TLC so Braun can go on to face Brock at Royal Rumble.
Oh, a heel general manager? Brilliant.
Fantastic, eh?
Inspired.
But then we got Dean Ambrose. It was not a backstage segment, but an off-site live feed. I don't care. And Dean Ambrose is in this physician's office, and he's getting jabs for flu and for rabies because he doesn't want to get a disease from you people.
Yeah, you people are vermin. He calls Milwaukee a third world country, all carrying diseases.
And apparently we have a stinking putrid breath. And yeah, as he's doing this, the doctor gives him an injection. He's like, oh. And then the doctor goes, the next one is in your hip. So Dean lowers his trousers as he's talking. It's just... What happened, man?
With this character, if you're scripting a character or scripting something for Dean Ambrose to say, this crazy lunatic, this guy who's become completely unhinged because one of his brothers has suffered this horrible, life-threatening disease, why would you then script him to have a segment where he pulls down his pants so he can get an injection into his butt? Like, why would you do that?
Because they're obviously, unfortunately, not going with the fascinating, complicated character we all thought he had. And I'm pretty sure was. Like, that isn't me just projecting better ideas onto them. They They were telling the story of Dean Ambrose stricken by grief, going against and taking it out on Seth Rollins.
Like when he was attacking, constantly shouting, "I'm sorry, it's Seth," and like, "You made me do this." And like, wondering, why is he channeling his grief this way? No, no, no. Now he's just like, I can almost hear Vince McMahon laughing because Dean pulled down his pants during the segment. And like, what I don't want to be doing is like hearing the audience laugh during a Dean Ambrose promo.
Well, don't worry about that, because no one's laughing. It was rubbish.
Yeah.
And there's the pre-Survivor Series version of this feud, which was really one of the best things going in WWE. And then the post-Survivor Series feud for the last two Mondays, where Dean Ambrose is now a germaphobe. That's now his character. Dean's a germaphobe. He doesn't like us as fans because we're disease-ridden. And he also sees Seth as a disease-ridden character. I mean, the one shining light here was that he didn't blame Roman Reigns getting cancer on what he did in The Shield.
Yep.
But I don't know what's more insulting, to be honest. This is, it's just, what? And then it cuts back to the announcer's desk. "Hey, Renee, any chance of talking?" No! No, stop talking to me. It's really difficult at home.
Yep. Another week goes by. Another week of Cole and Corey going like, "Renee, you live with him." And she just has to say, "Dunno."
I don't believe anything that's happening right now. Not in like, "Oh my God, I can't believe this. What a shock angle." It's like, I literally don't believe anything is real on this show, which is so damaging when it's professional wrestling. it's a ridiculous concept. It's men like stage fighting in predetermined combat. Like, the worst thing you can do is add to that element of fakeness. Oh, atrocious.
Yeah, she said that it's really hard to get into the head of someone you live with. I live with someone, it's not.
Yeah.
Anyway, coming up next, oh, do you remember that really awesome match last week where the Revival lost a 3-on-2 handicap match to the Loser House Party, yet the Loser House Party are the babyfaces? Well, they just did it again this week. Loser House Party come out, and they're all being luchas, and then Revival come out and cut a promo and say, "Last week was stupid. We're a tag team. Tag teams should be treated like golf. You should just be politely applauding when we do really good stuff or do a really good shot."
Quite like that.
I quite like that as well. And he said that it's a tag team match. It should be 2-on-2. And then they get into the ring and then JoJo announces it's Lucha House rules again. So it's a 3-on-2 handicap match and the Revival lose again. Where is this going? Where is this going? And we got Corey Graves, the heel commentator, who you're not meant to agree with, going like, "This is ridiculous." And me at home going like, "You're right, Corey, it is."
And the crowd are going, "Well, I want to cheer for the really cool flipty people, but
they're cheating.
I mean, this is unfair. And I don't want to cheer for the heels because they just told me not to applaud wrestling. So I'm just going to sit here confused and ambivalent."
And there was a moment when Dawson, or Dash or Dawson, whichever one it was, threw Kalisto or whichever one it was to the outside. And one of the other luchas just got into the ring. And then Corey Graves is like, "Well, this doesn't make sense either. Now they're just getting in without tags." And granted, that is Lucha Libre rules, but that's not being established on TV in the US. So it does look like they're just cheating and celebrating. And they're the good guys.
Like, the Lucha House Party is a bit of a stupid gimmick, but it's not hard to do right. Again, nothing makes sense right now. Then we got the Cyber Monday segment with Bayley and Sasha Banks selling their wares. Oh, hey, look, I'm sporting a Support Wrestle Talk classic white T-shirt.
I'm supporting an Ooh Kingslayer T-shirt, which I think is a perfect gift for a loved one at Christmas.
Or maybe just even this weekend.
Yeah, or someone's birthday or Wednesday. You know, it's just a perfect gift for any occasion.
Head over to WrestleTalkShop.com now and get your T-shirt to support Wrestle Talk.
Yeah.
Then we got a Lars Sullivan video package.
Yeah, well, actually, before that, Cole says that Stephanie McMahon and Shane McMahon are fighting furiously to sign him because he is the hottest free agent in WWE. And that's why we're getting the promos played on both Raw and SmackDown, which really does feel like we're just biding our time until we decide which brand he's going on.
Isn't that a really good idea that could have come to a climax at the one time a year when Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head.
Apart from Crown Jewel and Mixed Match Challenge.
Maybe a month of WWE programming could have been devoted to whichever brand wins gets Lars Sullivan.
And that's why Steph and Shane want to win the 5-on-5.
I mean, yeah.
Imagine. Or anything, yeah.
Imagine. So, I said in my review, I think the hottest free agent in the business right now just says they don't know what they're doing with him.
Yeah, they have no idea.
They don't know if he's going to Raw or SmackDown, which means they have no storyline plans.
Nope.
Because how can you start to piece together a feud with someone if you don't even know which roster they're going to be on? And that is tremendously worrying, because that's exactly what they did with every other single NXT call-up this year. None of which have... They've all been botched. None. I know AOP are the tag team champions
now. We'll get to that. But yes. None of the NXT call-ups are over at this point. Did you see the joke that I made in the news about Lars Sullivan?
Refresh my memory.
So Dave Meltzer wrote in The Observer that he's set to get a big push. He's set to get a super push. Mm. When they finally decide which brand he's going to get a super push, because he is a Vince McMahon type guy. So I made a joke about Vince McMahon likes big sweaty men.
I remember that, yeah.
But I made the joke of just like, I won't make that joke because it wouldn't be funny anyway. The joke I was actually trying to do is that I wouldn't make that joke funny. But I think the way that it comes across and the way that people saw it...
shade, man.
I was throwing shade, and that genuinely was not my intent. My intent was, I'm not funny enough to make this joke, whereas other people are. But what it came across, because I'm not funny... I was just throwing shade.
I thought it was shade.
I know.
But, you know, that's kayfabe. We are in a feud with Coldaholic. They have my jacket hostage.
It was so funny when I was seeing all the results. And I was just like, oh, yeah, it does come across like that, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm really bad at this.
Just there. And then you turn up on Coldaholic's channel.
I know. Just a few days later.
On the straight to hell. Okay. Oh, here we go. This is the next segment.
Yeah, it was a weird one, this next segment. So we got like a video package of Becky Lynch being punched in the face by Nia Jax, like really recapping that of like Nia Jax's hashtag facebreaker, hashtag potato thrower. And it, clearly what they're telling from this segment is that the feuds going out of this is Nia versus Becky and Charlotte versus Ronda, not Ronda versus Becky. Those two aren't really connected.
Well, I disagree. I think, like, for now, but and then they can
come together
for WrestleMania.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. So Nia comes
and
out.
And I think that's the way it should be. I agree with that direction.
And Nia comes out. She hasn't got as much heat as she did last week. Like, the Survivor Series heat, that LA heat that she had, like, that's not really there as much anymore. And... she talks about how, like, the Raw roster should be thankful for being the sole survivor, but she's thankful for breaking Becky's face. And, like, brags about giving her a concussion, which I don't think is particularly cool in 2018, but that's just...
I don't mind it.
Using it for heel heat?
Yeah,
okay. And she said that, like, Ronda really wanted that match with Becky, but she took that away, and she's going to take away her title at TLC. And then they show like a video package from Money in the Bank with Nia beating up Ronda. And Nia is telling this story that Nia is the result of Ronda's downfall. And that Ronda has failed ever since she had that match of Money in the Bank. Despite the fact that she won the Raw Women's Championship after that.
Mm.
And she's still winning. She's still undefeated.
Yeah, the Money in the Bank part was... really edited to make Nia Jax look really good. And then the evil... was it? No, it was the Survivor Series with Charlotte was made to look Ronda look really bad. Yeah, they told that story. But not very well. Yeah. This was an awful segment. It was essentially a scripted comedy in-ring segment with Nia Jax and Tamina. And it was all the levels of... it was like watching a comedian bomb. On stage.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't it just?
Because she started off with, this fist gave Becky Lynch a concussion. Boo. Big boo. And then every line after that, she'd pause. Nothing. It was getting quieter and quieter and quieter.
Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful had a really great tweet where he was like, I'd imagine the stage directions for Tamina were just raise your eyebrows intermittently.
Yeah.
Because she just stood there and occasionally would just raise her eyebrows. And nod.
And she is just, like, she's not imposing either. She's a charisma vacuum. The crowd are chatting amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they weren't even quiet. They didn't even have that respect to be just silently bored. So what are you going to do tonight?
Yeah.
And just talking like that. This should have been a backstage thing. What? And it was billed as Nia Jax's lesson in championship history. How did that execute that brief?
I don't know.
Sure, you showed a like some title bits, but like, what?
I don't know. But
why
then
call it that?
Ronda comes out and says that Nia is from a warrior culture and she had a punch heard round the world. But at TLC, she's going to tear off Nia's arm and slap Charlotte Flair with it. And then she called Tamina a monolithic mute. Because that's some badass line right there. That's some badassery. The monolithic mute.
It's just depressing. It's the saving grace last week was Ronda Rousey had a cool, fiery promo. This was a rubbish promo. And, yeah, like with just awkward dialogue that apparently Ronda and Paul Heyman are scripting.
Yeah.
Well, then you did a bad job this week.
Yeah, it's really like, so the millennial man thing, which I don't know, I mean, they'll probably bring back up again once they reignite the feud between Ronda and Becky. That is all, like, that's Ronda and Heyman scripting that, because I guess Ronda doesn't understand what a millennial is, doesn't understand that she is one. And that's why some of this comes across as really phony and odd. And yeah, this also came across as really phony and odd as well. Like, monolithic mute is just, it's not how people talk. Like, no one says that. So then it comes across as scripted gobbledygook. And then, Nia and Tamina surround Ronda. Natalya comes down. So,
yeah, Nia says, oh, well, actually, I was just stalling for time. And you're like, but that doesn't make sense. Tamina's been there the entire... She's in the ring. She started off in the ring with you. Why is she... How are you stalling for time? What, just to make this more long and boring?
I guess so.
Like, Tamina hasn't snuck in. No. You haven't distracted Ronda from anything.
But anyway, Natalya comes down because they're best friends again, I guess. But as she's running down, she gets attacked by the Riot Squad. More heel heat.
I tell you what, that bit when the Riot Squad just jump out and attack Natalya from nowhere. I mean, was that what Nia was stalling for? How did she know Natalya? I don't even want to get into that. I laughed because I was just like, well, that is the cherry on top of this absolute bad stuff.
Yeah.
Absolute bad stuff. Natalya runs in and like, just how does that work? That how the Riot Squad didn't know that.
But I would say, despite the fact that I didn't think that was a very good segment, what came next was worse.
Yeah, so again, I mean, the amount of times they have recapped this Drake Maverick.
It's the only thing from Survivor Series that survived.
Yeah, of all the things.
Of all the things.
We wanted you to take so many things from Survivor Series and you've taken this. And to the extent where, obviously, Vince McMahon must find this hilarious to rewatch.
It's toilet humour. It's a very hard record that Vince McMahon thinks the funniest things in the world are stutters and toilet humour.
Mm. And I think that's part of it. But I also think, I genuinely believe WWE resent their most loyal fan base, which is us. And this is, I think they play it and they're like, ah, let's just troll them.
Yeah.
I think they're intentionally trolling us with this crap. They're taking the piss. Yeah. So they recap that and Drake Maverick cuts a promo backstage saying they're going to teach Chad Gable and Bobby Roode a lesson. And AOP talk.
Oh, God.
At the end of that promo, one says, laugh now. And the other says, cry later. It's like, the point of having a manager is so you guys don't have to talk.
I know. At least when they did it with Paul Ellering, they didn't talk English. They talked in their own native tongues. And it sounded so scary and imposing and threatening. Here, when they say stupid lines like laugh now, fear later, whatever the hell it was, cry later, it sounds lame. Poor old Drake. Drake essentially said, like, Drake came out and said, like, yeah, I pissed myself. And the reason why I pissed myself is because I was so scared. I was like, well, cool, you're not a great manager, then are you? Why should I take anything you do seriously?
Yeah. And then it's like, it's fine to have this character. I mean, I'm not a fan of it, but if anyone can make it work, Spud can, because he's very, very good. And this is such a waste of his talent.
Such a waste.
But they don't have it with AOP. AOP, this is not the act to do this with.
I always thought it was a really odd pairing anyway of Drake Maverick with AOP. Because remember, it just sort of happened out of nowhere. Mm. All of a sudden, Drake Manager was a manager on Raw. Same way that Leo Rush was just randomly a manager on Raw. Because I think 205 Live is its own different continuity. But yeah, they still appear on main roster pay-per-views. Shrug. But yeah, I think doing it with AOP, your tag team champions, just doesn't work. And it just doesn't make them seem like a threat because they're now getting chance of AOPP at them. And that doesn't make them seem cool or scary.
I will say one positive of this is Chad Gable cutting a promo. So backstage, Rude and Gable are there. And Chad, he's so earnest. And I believe in him when he talks. And he says, you know, this was the whole reason I approached Bobby and we got this act together. We're getting a tag team championship shot here.
Coveted. That's what it's all about. Titles.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, that is what it's all about. I wish WWE treated it that way. And they have a match. The match is, you know, it's fine. It's just there, really. It's not the point.
I was going to say, the point of the segment was not to have a match.
Maverick gets Bobby Roode's $10,000 robe. That was the figure Corey Graves gave us.
Yep.
Which, I mean, how much was Charlotte Flair fined?
$100,000.
It's a tenth of what.
It is expensive.
But Bobby keeps wrestling and Drake walks off backstage with it. And then Drake appears on the Titantron. He's in the toilet and he puts the robe in the toilet, kicks it down there. And yep, he pisses on it.
He urinates on it. although I did laugh while whistling Bobby the Roode's entrance theme. I thought that was that did make me laugh.
Bobby the Roode's.
Bobby the Roode's entrance theme. You know him.
Yeah. So this distracted Roode enough, presumably by its, oh my God, I'm doing this. I'm doing this on Raw. Look at me on NXT, and I'm doing this now with my life.
Yeah.
And he got rolled up. No, he didn't get rolled up.
They hit a move on him and won.
And won. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But we are not done there with bad segments.
Oh, God,
because
no.
Because Alexa Bliss then says backstage, hey, Bayley and Banks, I know that we don't always get on. You really don't. Because just 2 weeks ago, you freaking ambushed them.
Yep.
But, you know, as my first act as women's general manager of Raw, I want you to have a Q&A with the crowd, with the live audience.
An open forum.
Because then they can get to know you a bit more.
Bayley asks if it's going to be another This Is Your Life segment. And she says no.
WWE, they're recognising how bad their own TV is from earlier this year, which would be funny.
I think it was last year.
No, it was this year.
No, was it really this year?
Pretty sure it was this year.
God, I feel like it was last year. It feels like a decade ago. Oh, no. Let me.
I'm
going to Google things live on air. Bayley.
Oh, man. Of course, because Bayley and Sasha were in the feud.
Yeah, June 3rd, 2017.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Screwed it up in my news. Bennett, where was I? Yeah, so WWE making fun of a bad segment, which would be funny if what they would put in on now was good. But what you're essentially saying is, remember that terrible segment we put on? We're going to, we're still bad.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be bad too. We get that Finn Balor promo. Then we get, I'm not even going to dignify this, Ember Moon beats Alicia Fox. Ember Moon's teaming with Kurt Hawkins now.
For a mixed match challenge. Remember when that team started out as Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman?
Yeah. And then No Way Jose parties down to the ring and Jinder Mahal beats No Way Jose. But both matches went at about a minute each.
Yeah, and did nothing for anyone. It was, filler. And I know, someone said this to me last week as well. It's like, well, these shows have to be filler because they're going up against Monday Night Football and they don't want to try. And it's like, well, that's the total opposite of what they should be doing. Surely, you should be trying to put on a good product to make people want to tune into it. Am I mad on that? Am I wrong?
No. You're just, I think people have bought into WWE's own insane argument.
Like, that's a stupid argument. It's like, well, no one's going to watch anyway, so why bother trying? Well, like, mate, I'm watching, because I'm not interested in Monday Night Football. I don't get it over here in the UK, so we have to watch this. So try.
reward your most loyalist fans. Make the people who watch Monday Night Football be like, oh man, I should have watched Raw this week. And then, you know, taped, like the on-demand stuff.
Yeah.
People can still go back and watch it.
Yeah, and like when WWF were competing with Nitro, and they were losing in the ratings. They didn't go just throw their hands and be like, "I mean, we're losing in the night, like losing in the ratings, so don't need to bother this week, really, do we?" He's like, "No, they got their backs against the wall. Like, no, we need to fight. We need to try because otherwise we're going to go out of business." And then they're in absolutely no fear of running out of going out of business. There is absolutely no chance in hell, to quote a Vince McMahonism, that WWE is going to go out of business off the back of this poor Raw. But at the same time, just try. Like, just make people want to tune in.
Like, where else in the world is that a strategy? Oh, there's some more competition, so we're just not going to try this week.
Yeah.
That is not a long-lasting thing. That's the attitude of a failure.
Yeah. Eventually, they'll come back.
But we did get next possibly the best thing on Raw, but that's saying much.
Can I do want to add in that Alexa, in that Ember Moon thing. Yeah. That was my favourite moment on Raw, which is when Moon won and then Kurt Hawkins reacted like he won and Moon crapped her pants because he scared her because he overreacted. And that did make me laugh.
Because Hawkins is infamously a loser.
Yes.
Seth Rollins came out next and he brought back the Intercontinental Title Open Challenge gimmick. Are you all right, though?
I was just Shane Douglas-ing here because everyone was so excited for this segment. Good Lord. When he announced this yesterday, I'm bringing back the Open Challenge. Everyone was speculating, who's it going to be? Could it be like a 205 Live guy? All the 205 Live guys were like retweeting him going like, oh, I'll be there. Oh, I'll be the one to answer it. Ricochet was like, oh, I'll do it. Title v title, that'd be really fun. All these guys. Guerrilla Position put up a tweet saying like, I can't wait for this. Reply to me in GIF format who you want it to be. And there's all these GIFs of being like Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black and Adam Cole and all these names and all these names. And I myself thought like, man, I really missed John Cena's US Open Challenge. Like, consistently, it was always a great match every week on Raw. And it was always a surprise. We got to see underutilized undercard talent being put over, even in defeat. They still came out more over from that segment than they were going into it. Oh, this could be a really cool thing. And then as Seth Rollins was coming down to the ring, I thought to myself, yeah, I don't think Dolph Ziggler was that annoyed that he lost the Intercontinental Championship. I wonder what happened to that storyline. And then I thought to myself, oh no, he's going to answer. And then as soon as the record scratch hit, I mean, I watched Raw on my own, but I did roll my eyes and I went, ugh, why Ziggler? Why this match again?
It's like they accidentally played a repeat of Raw or a clip show worst parts of Raw this year.
How do you come to this decision? How do you look at your entire roster of guys and be like, just do Dolph again?
Because it's not going to play into anything next week. This is a one-and-done thing. So just before we get onto the match, Seth did say that he's done chasing Dean around, but even though Ambrose says he's not here, I'm on the lookout for him. So I thought I appreciated that as, you know, a smart baby face to wrestling in shenanigans.
Do you want a fun fact, though?
Go on, then.
So this was in my news today, you might have seen. Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler have shared the ring 15 times since June 18th, with 7 being singles matches. That's 15 times in 24 weeks. You could select a random week of WWE and have a 62.5% chance of seeing this match.
Well, I just, for a random joke, I said their 14th match this year together. It's more. I thought 14 was a hilariously high number.
I know. Thank you very much for I've lost the name now, but you're in the news. But thank you for sending that across. I really appreciate that.
We love numbers.
I do love numbers.
Scott Steinery numbers.
Yeah, it was.
The match was, you know, it was good. As I said earlier,
of course it was.
I've heard this song way too much though.
Yeah,
there was a pretty good near fall off a missed frog splash, and then Dolph hit the Famasser. Crowd were really into the Burn It Down chants. This was the only other time, really, that the very good crowd, got something worth cheering.
Yeah, crowd were super into this, to be fair.
And then at the end, Dolph Ziggler's going to the top rope, and I'm thinking, well, he doesn't. Maybe he's actually going to hit a top rope move. What could this be? Seth hops up, superplex, Falcon Arrow, and won with that. And that was the kind of finish where I wasn't like, oh my God, he won with the Falcon Arrow. I was like, wow, they've just used every other finish.
They're out of finishes.
They're out of ideas. But it's cool to see someone with the Falcon Arrow, but...
That's what I thought. I thought it's a nice move to finish on for a change, but at the same time, a different match would have been much preferred. Like, there's so many guys on that roster that could have had this role that are not doing anything. And it didn't need to be like a, well, we need to elevate a new guy. No, it's just like, have a great match, and at the end of it, people can look at that person with a different eyes. Maybe, who knows, someone might accidentally get over off the back of it.
Well, that's the danger, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you remember Apollo Crews was getting that push?
Well, do you remember when Mojo Rawley was getting that push for a few weeks?
I don't even know what brand he's on anymore.
He's on Raw, I think.
Oh, who cares?
He was feuding with No Way Jose.
Seth Rollins and Neville. I always think of that match, and that was a match that got Neville over. People bought into that Red Arrow near fall. That's one of the best near falls on Raw in recent times. And that was Seth Rollins helping put someone over in a Seth Rollins match. And yeah, I feel like if Apollo Crews, that's the last thing I can see that's going to get him over, and that's this kind of match.
Yeah. But
anyway, because we've already talked about the main event with Finn Balor and Baron Corbin, we're going to talk about the equally frustrating co-main event, or like, you know, the last segment before then, which was that previously teased Sasha Banks and Bayley Q&A with Alexa Bliss moderating.
Yeah, Charlie's at ringside to get questions. And then it was just an excuse for Alexa to make fun of the crowd for a little bit. And then
don't look at me. Oh, that's just your face. Yeah.
Your mouth looks a bit weird, or something along those lines. And then eventually a plant puts her hand up and she's wearing a Ronda Rousey t-shirt.
No, was that a plant?
Yeah.
No.
She was. I mean, she was less convincing than those Roman ones that you claim were plants earlier this year.
Hey.
But she asked, she's like, hey, what would you change about the division, the women's division on Raw? And then Bayley, like an idiot, says, nothing, I think it's great. You idiots. No, it's not. It's terrible at the moment. You absolute idiot. And then...
she was made to look so bad.
Like, so bad.
What? I don't know. I'm just happy to be here,
I know.
Like, honestly, who thinks that's a good idea to script Bayley's character that way?
Her line later was so much worse, though. Because Banks says, if I was to change anything, I would trade Alexa Bliss back to SmackDown.
Which was delivered pretty cool.
Yeah.
You never know what's real between Bliss and Banks. The rumor is that they've actually got kind of a backstage heat thing going on. I felt that, and I love Banks. I would wish she was like this more. But over to you.
Well, yeah, and then Bliss starts talking about how, like, Bayley's holding Banks back or whatever. It's like, you used to be women's champion, now you're just in a tag team. At one point, and I've said this so many times this year, I thought this might be the introduction of the women's tag team titles. I thought it was like, if you were to change anything about this division, what would it be? And Bayley says, women's tag team titles. Like, that, I almost thought that's where it was going. But
That would have given it a point,
well,
Luke.
Well, clearly, that was my mistake. And then... Bayley says this line where she goes, I wouldn't trade Bliss back to SmackDown. Quote, I want to send her back to hell where she came from. Lame. Lame.
It's not
a good line.
Yeah, I don't know why you would. It's rubbish.
It is rubbish.
Like, I didn't go, I wasn't like, oh, that was really funny in a lame way.
What a
or,
burn.
Oh, that was badass. So just like, you just look rubbish.
Is Bliss from hell? Is she a demoness? That's never been a character before.
Yeah. I don't know. It was bad stuff all around. And Alexa Bliss, I just feel like her heart isn't in it at the moment. Alexa Bliss is a great promo. She's really good at riling up the crowd. She was on second gear at best here.
Banks,
like,
yeah.
She was doing, you know, when she's doing stuff with the crowd at the start, she seemed... That was like 20% capacity of heel Alexa.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because she's like, she's sad that she can't compete at the moment, or she's not creatively fulfilled by this. But yeah, just no one was good in this.
No, and you kind of, I mean, the writing was on the wall that this was going to be a bad segment anyway. But like when Sasha Banks came out, and you can always tell if a Sasha Banks segment is going to be good or not by her facial reaction when she comes out. Like if she's going to lose a match, she's not smiling. She's winning. Can't wipe a smile off her face. So just by the look on Banks' face when she came out here, you were like, oh, she doesn't buy into this segment whatsoever. She knows that this is bad. And then bad it got, because from out of nowhere, Mickey James, Alicia Fox, and Dana Brooke attacked them from behind.
Oh, was Alicia Fox there?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah.
She's definitely there.
I thought it was Mandy Rose at one point, because they got platinum blonde hair. But no, I'm pretty sure it was Alicia Fox, because she's the only other woman. when Ember Moon came out for a match earlier, I went, Ember Moon versus, and I was racking through my brain going like, who else could it be? And I was like, ah, Dana Brooke. And then when Alicia Fox, I was like, oh, no, of course. Yeah, Alicia Fox is the one I'm missing. Dana Brooke, by the way, just 48 hours ago, was teaming with Bayley and Sasha Banks at the Starrcade show. So if anyone thought that that might actually mean something, it didn't. Yeah, but at the end, after this, Bayley and Banks stood tall. So this, again...
Did the NXT Toronto review go up yesterday?
It did.
Yeah, so the Wrestle Ramble Extra for this month, which was NXT TakeOver Toronto from 2016, that's up now for Patreon exclusive. It's there for $5 and above backers. And that's a match that has Mickey James's first return back to WWE in a match against Asuka. And we were like, you know, wow. She's such a good wrestler. She's so solid, and she's got so much experience. She's really solid in the ring, and we talked about how much she's been botched on the main roster since, and just slowly chipped away at any of that legend status. All time great she was billed when she returned the NXT TakeOver, and here she is. You can't even be 100% certain that it was Mickey James, because it was such a throwaway beatdown.
Yeah,
that's what she is now. This was a terrible episode of Raw. It was boring. It was 3 hours long. There was bad stuff in it. There was potentially character-ruining stuff in it with AOP. Nia Jax is not the right person to give in-ring comedy segments to. And the main event storyline is completely uninspiring. And Rollins and Ambrose has taken a very banal turn. I gave it a bore.
And yet I thought last week's episode was worse. But I would also give this a bore. Maybe a high bore, because the Rollins-Ambrose match... No, Rollins-Ziggler match was at least good.
Well, sorry for all the negativity there, folks. But it's not a good time in WWE right now. And it likely won't be until Royal Rumble season kicks in.
Yeah.
Something else I did over the weekend.
Oh,
that
you're
like.
Oh, yeah.
So, went round my mate's house. It was his birthday. And he's a board game aficionado.
Ooh.
So, we played a board game.
What'd you play?
Well, first off, we played the Cyanide and Happiness version of Cards Against Humanity, which was okay. Then we played the game
that
where...
That just feels like it would just be Cards Against Humanity.
It is, but with cartoon strips, and you make up your own cartoon.
Oh, that's quite cool.
It's okay for a bit, I guess. And I love Cyanide and Happiness. But the other one was where you all have numbers from 1 to 100 and you don't know which numbers the other people have got. You're not allowed to talk, and you've just got to go like, I've got this number, and you've got to do it in sequence without tripping over anyone. That was fun, but we were terrible at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last game we played, which was Birthday Boy's favourite, and, you know, he got to choose... was Cosmic Encounter. Have you played this?
I have not, no.
It's complicated.
Yeah?
He was like, guys, you're going to love this. It's a sci-fi game. I was like, okay, where's this going? Based on galactic diplomacy, and you've got to negotiate, but, you know, maybe you haven't, maybe you've pretended that it's an alliance, but then you haven't. You turn over the cards and one person's, like, betrayed you.
Oh,
so it's
okay,
like,
but
you agree everything, but really it's the flipping over of things that counts, but that could damage your relationships. It was so complicated, and we'd accidentally set up the advanced version of the game, so we were playing the basic version, which was hard enough, and then we'll get like occasionally a card in the deck and be like, well, what does that do? So Cosmic Encounter. I think it's the sort of game that gets very good on your eighth try of playing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a game that I might try and play this coming weekend, and because I haven't played in a while, I really like it, called Mysterium. Really, really good game.
How does that go?
So essentially, one player at the end of the table is a ghost, and they have a board in front of them that has got like murder clues on there. The aim of the game is for the ghost to communicate with the players, who are clairvoyance and whatnot, how they were murdered. or how the ghost was murdered. So, like, each clairvoyant has, like, their own sort of guide of, like, killer, location, and weapon. And I then have to translate that to you by giving you abstract images that are on these cards. And you have to try and interpret the vision that I have given you.
Whoa.
To what's on the board to try and then work out what I'm trying to tell you and try and point you in the right direction.
Is this something you want to play on Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'm up for that.
Yeah.
It's a bit spooky in the spirit of Luke's Stranger Things themed party.
That's right.
Everyone's invited.
Obviously, yeah, if you can find where we are.
I mean, they can find you at London.
At London, yeah. Comma general. They got this email here from David K. Hjulgard that I wanted to write. He's called himself Dave
Hjulgard.
Hjulgardian of the Galaxy, he's called himself, nice. Which is nice. Hello, Luke, Ollie and Laurie. My wife and I have just returned from a wonderful Survivor Series weekend in Los Angeles where we celebrated our 10-year anniversary the best way we think we could, best way we could have thought. We had a great time and were fortunate enough to meet several superstars and crew members. Although we accumulated many great Rusev Hay stories, today I wanted to share you a story that's more of a Rusev Hay adjacent. Having purchased one of WWE's travel packages for the event, my wife and I were seated in the front row all weekend long. I had one goal in mind going in. I was going to meet the long-haired superfan and his mum, who were always visible on camera at pay-per-view events, usually with Ascension and Dolph Ziggler signs. I mean, who are these people? I had to know. As it turns out...
By the way, I'm really curious about this myself. This has been a thing since 2015.
Yeah.
I felt like I was the first person to... Not the first person, but I was... Oh, man, now I sound like an idiot. I'm going to say I was talking about him before everyone else.
Because you went to Progress before. It was cool.
But just carry on. It's the sort of thing that, open my mouth.
Sort of thing that Ross Twiddell gave you heat for.
Yeah. Well, that hasn't gone live yet.
No, it's
it?
Next month.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the email. As it turned out, we were seated only a few chairs away from them.
No.
Following takeover, I approached them and politely introduced myself with an icebreaker, saying, I kind of feel, though, I already know you. They laughed and shook my hand. I believe this information is already on the internet, but it was nice to confirm that his name is indeed Simon and his mum's name is Alice. I'd also like to note that they are both very friendly, particularly Alice, who is a total sweetheart. Aww. After a brief conversation, I asked them for a photograph and they obliged. I've attached it in this email for you. The lovely blonde woman photobombing us in the background is my wife, Jenny. So that is the photo.
That is amazing. Hey, did we meet this guy?
He does look very familiar, doesn't he?
I feel like we've met this guy at either MediaCon or... Well, he wouldn't have been at our show if he was in America.
But he might not be an American. He might have gone across to LA to celebrate their 10-year anniversary.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Look at them.
Well, that was the thing that caught my eye on this email, it must be said, David. Although the mystery remained of who they are and exactly how they managed to turn up at every pay-per-view, at least I can put names to their faces. Before I go, I just want to add that WrestleTalk is my absolute favourite wrestling podcast, and I appreciate all the time and effort you lot put into keeping us Podswafters entertained. Keep up the great, consistent work with all sincerity. Thank you. David Hewler, Guardian of the Galaxy.
Ah, thank you, David. And thanks for that photo, because I am fascinated by Simon and Alice.
Mm-hmm.
They're over with me.
Yeah.
Because, like, that is so many super fans. They start off as just fans, like a Brock Lesnar guy and Frank the Clown. And then I think the fame overwhelms them and they think they're bigger than the thing. But what I've always appreciated about Simon and his mother, Alice, is that they just sit there and they just watch the show.
They just want to enjoy
and
the show.
I think they're like the perfect fan in that they're always cheering the right bits and booing the right bits.
Yeah.
So I have the utmost respect for them. I'm baffled how they can live normal lives by being at every single Raw, SmackDown and pay-per-view taping.
Absolutely. It's not like, do you remember when Frank the Clown got really upset because WWE put up an article of like their top fans? He was really upset that he was not part of the list. Like genuinely really annoyed that WWE didn't recognize him as a super fan.
Mm.
Not Simon and Alice. They would. No. They probably wouldn't even know that WWE.com did an article.
Yeah.
Like the majority of WWE fans. Let's have some jokes before we get out of here. This genuinely is one of my favourite jokes ever. I went to the shop to buy 6 cans of Sprite. It was only when I got home I realised I'd picked 7 up.
Okay.
Come in for this is from Harry Iverson. My deaf wife told me that we need to talk. That's not a good sign. Sign, yeah. There's a guy going around dipping his testicle. There's a guy going around dipping his testicles into glitter. It's pretty nuts. My friend drowned in a bowl of Alpen. It was the current that took him under. It's from a $10 pledge hammer airport bus driver, whoop whoop cheer, cheap pop of my own, Harry. Thank you very much for those, Harry. I enjoy some of those.
Harry, driver to the stars, we should call him.
The driver
he once
to the stars.
Drove the entire Raw roster from Newcastle Airport, didn't he?
That's right, the driver to the stars. It reminds me of that joke. It was in, do you remember, I think it was called Rockin' Ships. It was the prequel to Only Fools and Horses they did a few years ago, where Nicholas Lyndhurst essentially played Rodney's father. And he tells a joke on that where he knew a friend of his that died in a coffee-making factory. And he said he just fell into the mixer and it was killed. And she goes, "Oh, that sounds tragic." He goes, "No, it was instant."
Very good.
Very good. But that is all we've got time for on this edition. We're going to be back tomorrow with SmackDown. Fingers crossed it's a better show. Otherwise, I'm going to get lynched in the comments. Take care. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.